To KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Why am I passionate about KBOO? Well, I am pretty certain that I am passionate about KBOO because I realize that it is a very effective platform that provides the community with an opportunity to express themselves. That's what it did to me when they brought me here back in 2014. I knew nothing about radio or KBOO, but I had experience recording before. So I was experienced in that sense. So it kind of came natural, but it definitely has taught me just being at KBOO and volunteering for KBOO, creating content, creating segments for Rose City Native Radio. It gave me the opportunity to really express myself, my thoughts, my philosophies, my culture, and be confident about the way that you can express yourself. So that's why I'm passionate about
KBOO. There goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Don't say what you mean. That's Drinking for Puddles,
okay.
Every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yeah.
KBOO.
Welcome, everyone, to our channel, The Global Sales Show on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Today is December 6th. My name is TK Kapura. I'm your host this evening. And if you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome. Our guests tonight are my friends from Rwanda, Central Africa. We have Azel and Fulgence Bugingo live on air. You're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. Before we dive into our interview, I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to 44-321. Tonight, we take you to Rwanda, Central Africa. As most of us may know, immigrants and refugees come from any part of the world. Immigration remains a hot topic, and it touches many millions and billions of people, their friends, neighbors, and anybody who is connected to them. This evening, our special guests, Azel and Fulgence from Rwanda, are so happy and willing to share a lot about their lives, the experiences not only in Rwanda, but they also experienced also here in America. They live here now in Portland, Oregon. I'll give the couple some space to introduce themselves. Azel and Fulgence, will you take turns to introduce yourselves to our audience, please?
Hello, my name is Azel Bugingo, born and raised in Rwanda. Came to Portland 21 years ago, and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Azel. Fulgence?
I'm Fulgence Bugingo, Azel's husband. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Fulgence. For those just joining us this evening, we want to take you on a tour, on a global cell to Rwanda. That's in Central Africa. We want to understand the situation and the culture in Rwanda. Our guests, Azel and Fulgence, will shed some light on what they know and understand about Rwanda based on their lived experience there. For warm-up, I'll start with a popular song from Rwanda. Will you please introduce this first song, Azel, to our audience?
Our first song is Sugira Usagambe Rwanda. It's very popular and it's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Azel.
Rwanda rwiza sugira mugongo mugaru duhetse gira mahirwe gira majyambere hora numugisha
was a very moving piece from Rwanda. What a great song. So briefly, Fulgence, can you explain to us briefly what this song is about?
This song is about the country of Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to translate.
Okay.
It's like long live Rwanda.
Okay.
Expand, be healthy, like a tree growing, kind of growing and with branches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very emotional. It talks about all the beauty of Rwanda,
mm-hmm.
the environment, and actually it's called the country of 1,000 hills. So
wow.
it's kind of implied in the song.
Oh, thank you for that explanation. For those just joining us this evening, we want to hear everything about Rwanda. We wanted to talk about the communities and the streets in Rwanda, the villages everything, the thousand mountains that Fulgence talked about. We need to feel the social temperature so we can understand what makes Rwanda unique or special. We want to understand the way Rwandese people look at life. What is their idea of life like? We want to be invited to their current issues for informed understanding and empathy. We also want to visit their spaces of comfort and common ground. We want to experience their food, their music, their thoughts, feelings, and perceptions. Right, so before we go any further, Azel, may you please let our audience understand where Rwanda is on this global map.
Thank you. Thank you, TK. Rwanda is located around Rock Country in the heart of Africa. To give you an example, it's 9 times smaller than the state of Oregon.
Wow.
So it's surrounded by 4 countries. In south is Burundi. North is Uganda. East is Tanzania. And west is Republic of Congo.
And what languages are spoken in Rwanda?
Kinyarwanda.
Kinyarwanda. Are there any other languages that are spoken there?
French is our second language. However, after that, we included English. So, English is now more common.
Okay.
Yeah, to compare with before.
Okay. So, is the French fading, or is just an additional language to the to English is becoming an additional language to the French?
French is still there.
It's still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Even though it's not as dominant as it used to be. However, it's still there.
Okay, great. Good to know. Right. And what's the situation? I just want our audience to understand Rwanda. I know there were some issues that happened in 1994 that took the whole world by surprise, Rwanda being on the spotlight. Would you mind sharing something about Rwanda from 1994, or briefly maybe going back a little bit, then coming to the 1994 picture, so the audience may understand the Rwanda situation?
That is a very sensitive topic to many of Rwandans, including myself. Talking about that long story to take maybe 2 days, 3 days to talk about it. However, I would like to talk that and these people are just good people, and also the situation in 1994, as I said, is very, very sensitive to talk about it. I may say I was there, I went through it, I saw it. What I can say the most is something you don't want to go through again. Yeah, maybe Fulgence, would you like to add something to it?
Yeah, certainly. What happened in Rwanda kind of shaped every Rwandan. You know, there is some resiliency built in the experience we all went through. But what I like about Rwandans, they stay positive. I mean, they want to look forward. They don't want to be trapped in the past.
Right.
They want to keep that hope going. And it worked. If you go to Kigali today, it's a vibrant city. I mean, all the buildings and so there's been a change. People really want to look forward.
And Kigali is the capital city of Rwanda.
The capital city of Rwanda. I remember when I was younger, it was like there was almost nothing. I'm talking, you know, in the mid 70s. But so many things have happened now.
Wow. Thank you for shedding some light on the situation in Rwanda. I feel for you and respect what you just stated. So what do you think could be the way forward right now? You spoke about resilience. You spoke about hope. Is the situation improving to your understanding? Are you happy or comfortable with the pace, the way things are? Tribal relations, national government, how comfortable are you?
I believe there is progress. I believe I still have hope in the new generation.
Yes.
And I there are more positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as anywhere else in Africa or even here,
mm-hmm.
there always a room of improvement.
Right.
However, in general, I can say
mm-hmm.
there's progress.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And what I would add to that is when people hear about Rwanda, they think about all the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Rwanda is.
Right.
It never was.
Mm-hmm.
Rwanda is a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. Rwandan people, I mean, you have to see them. You have to see them
mm-hmm.
and appreciate, you know, the company.
Right.
So there is actually more positive things than people give us credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, that's good to know as well, because it takes away the general misguiding picture about the situation. Now I'm glad I'm speaking to the real people coming from the homeland, so they have a better understanding of what's going on. Right. So how has your life been here in the United States ever since you got here in America?
Here in America, I may say life is good.
Right.
I can say life is good.
Mm-hmm.
I love Portland.
Right.
I like to say I'm Portlandia.
Great.
And also, I love American people. And uh-huh. as well as I'm American.
Right.
I still feel like I adjusted well
mm-hmm.
here in America. And I never walked on the street and feel like I'm different than mm-hmm. anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what were your early experiences like? Do you have any memories about your early experiences here in the U.S.? Were there any striking differences between where you were coming from and the way you found America to be when you got here first time?
Yes, yes.
What was it? Can you please share?
I was a little bit surprised to see homeless people.
Uh-huh.
Even though where we come from is... people, I can say, they are not as advanced in technology and mm-hmm. everything as here.
Mm-hmm.
However, we don't see a homeless man.
Mm-hmm.
You might see some, maybe children,
mm-hmm.
Those run away from home or something that, however, was mm-hmm. rare and was a culture shock to see a homeless man.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was a little bit... surprise was in the school
mm-hmm.
How children were talking to their teachers and
uh-huh.
I felt like where I grew up was really different. We respect teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Children don't talk to teacher the way I saw it here.
Mm-hmm.
That was a culture shock.
Okay.
However, the more I stayed here, mm-hmm. the more I understood why.
Mm-hmm.
So they have more freedom of speech, and uh-huh. also I can say the cultural differences of where I come from. You don't look at straight in your eye to somebody
mm-hmm.
you respect and older than you. You listen,
right?
And over here, to see a 5 years old questioning the teacher doing that was really shocking.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's mostly those.
Uh-huh.
The food wasn't that surprising. It was almost closer to
mm-hmm.
the one we eat at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, can you please describe the kind of food that's mainly popular in Rwanda?
In Rwanda, we eat beans.
Okay.
Mostly red beans.
Uh-huh.
Green bananas.
Uh-huh.
Brown nuts.
Uh-huh.
Sweet potatoes,
right.
Irish potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
We use corn, but not as many as I've seen anywhere in East Africa or South
uh-huh.
Africa.
Uh-huh.
We use a lot of milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For what would you use it for? Just drinking it?
We drink milk more than anything else I can think of.
Do you have a lot of cows in Rwanda?
Yes, we used to have a lot of cows.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know as well. Yeah. So we'll take a slight break. We're going to play another song from Rwanda. One of you can go ahead and introduce the second song for our listeners.
So this song is, the title is Dahlia.
Uh-huh.
It's by a well-known Rwandan artist, Masako Nyangezi.
Oh, thank you, Fulgence. We'll enjoy the song. Thank you. That was a song named Dahlia, such a soothing song from Rwanda. Fulgence, do you mind explaining to our audience what this soothing song is all about?
This is an old, powerful love song, and Dahlia is a girl's name. And this singer, he sang that song, he was in his early 20s. I think he was barely 20 years old. He's now in his 70s, closer to 70s, and the song is still a hit in wow. Rwanda. So the words, again, it's hard to explain. You have to to hear this in Kinyarwanda, but it's just a love song. Uh-huh. You know, he's praising this girl.
Uh-huh.
And the song just doesn't seem to go away. I mean, all generations love this song.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank you, Fulgence, for this explanation. So I want to go back to the ordinary life in Rwanda on a random day. Can you please explain to our audience, what do the people in Rwanda enjoy doing for fun?
I would say soccer is the most popular activity there.
Mm-hmm.
They call it football.
Okay.
Over there.
Great.
Besides that, they like socializing
uh-huh.
a lot, you know, with family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
They do poetry recitation.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of storytelling,
mm-hmm.
Music. And most of the fun really is happening indoor,
mm-hmm.
especially for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, like in the evening, listening to grandma's and grandpa's stories.
Right.
And as kids, we would stay there for long hours.
Wow.
And it's around the fire, and
uh-huh.
it's. I mean, people are so connected, and just by telling stories, they're uh-huh. having fun.
Yeah, that's.
So that was pretty common, and I think it still is.
That sounds like fun. And that also maybe draws me closer to you in that way of storytelling. That's the same way I was raised, just listening to stories as well. I like stories too. So are there any important seasons on the year where people have more fun than other seasons in Rwanda?
I would say it's year-round. We do not have four seasons like here.
Uh-huh.
So the country is, Rwanda is not far from the equator. So it's always like 12 hours of sunshine and then 12 hours of night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever there is something to be excited about, they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a wedding
mm-hmm.
Or mostly those are wedding ceremonies. They happen year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And then they improvise. You know, you can have naming the newborn. You know,
right.
It's a big deal
wow.
out there because they call all the kids nearby, especially in villages.
Mm-hmm.
They call all the kids around to come and name the baby.
Oh, so they
yes.
bring in different kinds of names?
Yes, everyone gives a name to the baby.
Yeah.
However, ultimately, the father chooses a name.
From the list.
Yes, not necessarily from the list, but the ceremony is intended to give everyone the opportunity to name and
uh-huh.
welcome the baby in the village.
Nice.
Because those other kids coming for the naming ceremony,
uh-huh.
that's where socializing starts already, when
mm-hmm.
that baby mm-hmm. is going to be part of the village.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, it's a different scenario in town,
uh-huh.
but more or less it's the same kind of philosophy and way of having fun.
Oh, what a way.
Yeah.
To
and
bring
then
people
they share food and drinks.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's really interesting and very exciting to know as well. Yeah, because it's a way to bring people together, and I'm sure the bonding starts at early age, even for the baby. To be in that kind of picture.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I would like to add that, as Fusion said, actually in Rwanda, we have only dry season and rain season.
Uh-huh.
Then, as you said, people will improvise. We'll be like, okay, this is a long day. We have maybe much to do. Then start mm-hmm. music or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And children will do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started at one, and as they came to name the baby,
yes.
that's when they would come back again after like a week to come to hold the baby. Then after holding the baby, they'll be back to do something again with the baby.
Uh-huh.
So that is how it started at one.
Oh, great. Yeah. And talking about just community events in Rwanda, besides weddings and funerals and baby naming ceremonies, are there any other events that would bring the community together for a special reason?
what is people like to be together? They find any excuse to be together.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I love that community spirit for people just being together to have fun, enjoy fruit, food and drinks. That's great. That is great. So we're going to move on to our third song. Mrs. L, will you please introduce the third song from Rwanda?
Yes, the third song is Umuntu Ninkundi. This was is by Focus Rurimiri. Umuntu Ninkundi, they want to share like to say like people are the same.
Oh, okay. We are all one.
We are all one.
Citizens of the world.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that introduction.
Ibyumbwira nubu pa pa cyo hono hinduka
cyo ramenya ubutaramenya nacyo zamenya niba utaramenya kumuntu ari mundi kumuntu ari mundi kimwe nawe
Urumunyabwenge mbwira nawe kubumwiyabura ukaburiwe wabihisemo kuvuka mu bakire cyangwa ukavuka mu bakeneye si wowe si wowe wabihisemo sinundi wabiguhitiramo n'ukurimba nk'urugamo yaguhanze yonyine niyibizi kawandi ubimenya ubimenye
nacuramenya ubwo taramenya nacu zamenya niba utaramenya kumuntu ari mundi kumuntu ari mundi kimwe na
chika muri rubanda ubabwira ku bwoko bwawe burutu bwabanye uracyajijiriwe kutigira kubana b'inyange baduhaye urugero rwiza twese
That was another soothing piece from Rwanda. Fulgence, do you mind explaining to our listeners what this song is about?
Sure. This song is a reminder, what they are saying. It's a reminder that we're all the same. We're all equal. Whether you were born rich or less fortunate, we're all equal. And if you do not know that, you have a long way to go if you do not know that. So, and then he goes on, he says, kind of repeats the same thing, but mostly really it's all about we're all the same, we do not get to choose how we're born, mm-hmm. or how tall or short we are, how rich, and so forth. And this song was sung by a group of, there is the original song, mm-hmm. but then you have other artists, Rwandan artists, who came together and sang that song together. So it's very powerful.
I like that song because it ties up with some of the experience that I've had lately in my workplace, where they talk about see no stranger, because we are all one. We see each other in the same way we would like to be seen. You are who you are because of me and because of the next person. So I like that song because it's so humbling and unifying. Thank you so much for sharing that experience. As we move on, I wanted to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Global Cell Show on KBOO Portland. Before we move any further as well, I wanted to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give, or you can text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. So Fulgence, back to our conversation. What's the source of wealth in Rwanda? What makes Rwanda an amazing nation in terms of global economics?
It's a complicated question, but I look at this in two aspects. Mm-hmm. You look at the rural areas. Mm-hmm. What is the source of their wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, it's from agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
They grow their food, bananas, potatoes, beans, peas, sorghum, even, mm-hmm. you name it. A lot of groundnuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they grow all that, and that's their wealth in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And they also grow coffee and tea, mm-hmm. and that's the that's for additional income.
Mm-hmm.
They sell that, and then they get additional money. That's from the from that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also other sources of wealth. You mm-hmm. know, there are minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, where there is what they call castorite, or some kind of tin. Mm-hmm. It's a metal.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you know, the gold has been reported. I mean, there are gemstones, all sorts of minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Coltan, the material used in cell phones, mm-hmm. there are some found in Rwanda or sold in Rwanda. So there is a variety of sources of wealth, mm-hmm. as globalization kind of comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So globalization also impacts Rwanda and got to Rwanda, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that piece. So Azel, what do you know about women's and children's rights in Rwanda?
Actually, I may say in Rwanda, they're doing very well with women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have more women in parliament to compare with anywhere else, I think, in Africa. Mm. Also, yes, we... As a mother, I believe Rwandese women, we care much for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yes, our children are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. So do you think they have made a big jump when you compare to other regional African nations, or they're just like me, maybe moving on the same pace?
I think they're a little bit more advanced.
Okay.
I still feel like Rwandese women, we have more to speak, more mm-hmm. To compare with other women in Africa. For example, mm-hmm. as I said, in parliament, we have more women.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even in our homes, I can say, yes, we have a culture of not being the head of the family.
Mm-hmm.
However, we try to balance to be equal.
Mm-hmm. Has this been like this ever since history, or it was it's a transformation?
I think is, I'm not going to say is that the Rwandese culture is a kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Rwandese men are known to spoil their women.
Mm-hmm.
I get to believe that when I traveled all over Africa and here, mm-hmm. I realized that might be true.
Mm-hmm.
However, sometimes we don't know about it until. And uh-huh. Yeah, the because Rwandese culture, they believe when you're not at peace at home, mm-hmm. you're not going to do well.
Oh.
And to be at peace, you had to start from home, from your wife.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a very good way to look at things, for sure. And so, in terms of religion in Rwanda, what are the religious values that are observed in Rwanda?
Rwandese people are kind of religious. Uh-huh. Catholic is dominant.
Mm-hmm.
We have also Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Muslim too.
Mm-hmm.
In Rwanda, they used to have some traditional belief.
Mm-hmm.
However, in our time, mm-hmm. or our parents' time, was no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
I think went away with colonization.
Mm-hmm.
However, when look at their history, they used to have some traditional belief and religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that exists. It's a kind of gone.
Mm-hmm. I have another question for you, Fulgence, regarding the history of Rwanda. During the colonial era, what was the name of Rwanda?
Rwanda has always been called Rwanda.
Okay.
But we say Rwanda. Mm-hmm. That's how we say it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point it was called Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
But it never changed the name, mm-hmm. as far as I know.
So does that have a special meaning?
There are several interpretations, mm-hmm. but certainly there is a meaning there.
Mm-hmm.
Rwanda is, it's big, it's like a widening kind of, I mean, it goes all over the place. Because
mm-hmm.
As I said, Rwanda is a small country.
Yes.
But that's not how we see that.
Uh-huh.
We think everywhere is Rwanda. I remember when I was in college, I went back home,
uh-huh.
and my grandpa was asking, hey, how is Rwanda there? So they think Rwanda is so huge and uh-huh. it keeps expanding, but, you know,
uh-huh.
I like that.
I like that too. So, where is the French coming from? And can you briefly share with our listeners, like, where is the French coming from and this brief history behind the French, and when do they get to leave your country?
Yes. So for many years, Rwanda was a kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and the only language spoken, well, Kinyarwanda was spoken then,
mm-hmm.
and still is. There were some other little languages from neighboring countries,
mm-hmm.
but Kinyarwanda has always been Kinyarwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and we were colonized by Germany before the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And when they lost the war,
mm-hmm.
Rwanda was handed over to Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when French came in.
Mm-hmm.
So people started, you know, speaking some French,
mm-hmm.
until so Belgium, they speak French,
mm-hmm.
and at some point Belgium also lost Rwanda to France.
Oh. You know?
it wasn't a colony anymore,
mm-hmm.
but French was there, and the French people were the ones working closely with the former government.
Mm-hmm.
And then in early 90s, mm-hmm. or mid 90s, English became another national language. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got there. In addition to Swahili spoken by people who would be closer to Tanzania.
Yes.
And some people who be closer to Congo. Yes, that's how we got a mix of languages.
Okay. Yes. So when people are going to school in Rwanda, are they teaching French or are they teaching English?
So before the 1994-95 or so, in high school, teaching was in French.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in French.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in the mid-90s, they switched. Now they're teaching in English in classrooms. So it's one of those dynamics as Rwanda kind of moved from, you know, an era to an era, and they embrace the changes. So that's where we are. But today, you can use English and French, because people who are speaking French before mid-90s,
right,
they are still there. That's their second language.
Okay.
So, it's a moving dynamic.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Good to know that as well. So we're going to move on to our next song. Would you please introduce to us, our audience, the next song on our list?
As we said, Rwandese people love music and also love is part of it. So the next song is Urukundo by Abdul Makanyaga.
Thank you, Azel.
Jezuru komezeru gwizi muwe Nichoru vere yeho Naruhari yige chumbi mumuti mugukunda Na chizaru hungabanya Ariko izere ko turi kumwe kandi tuzahorana izere kwa mahoro n'amakuba ibyo tuzabifatanya Nibyo bikuranga
I think that is going to be one of my most favorite songs from today. Moving on, thank you for introducing this song. Fulgence, would you please briefly explain to our listeners what this song is about?
As I said, this is another love song for Rwandan people. What I like about this song, again, he's praising the girl, how nice and helping and everything you can do to say the person is nice, and mm-hmm. there's no other like her. Mm-hmm. But again, it becomes more emotional when you are listening this in Kinyarwanda.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to translate, but it's a powerful love song.
Uh-huh.
And this gentleman, he's still there. He's
really?
Still, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's still singing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that piece. Now I want to go back to your American coming to America story. What were some of the earliest, funniest experiences you may have encountered on your way into settling into the USA, if you don't mind sharing?
There are many stories, but, you know, sometimes it's... but there is one, at least.
Yes.
And that reminded me how people name children in Rwanda,
uh-huh.
how we are given names.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have family names these days, maybe, but we typically used not to have family names.
Mm-hmm.
Every child had his or her own name, and your father wouldn't hesitate to call you based on circumstances. I mean, if you're born and it's raining outside, well, he can call you Mvura or Samvura, meaning rain. So, and when we arrived here in the U.S.,
uh-huh.
we didn't have a family name.
Uh-huh.
And we're taking our kids to school, obviously.
Uh-huh.
As parents, we were meeting, and my wife, Azel, she would, you know, people would come to her and say, oh, how is Mr. Mukaruhanga doing?
Yeah.
And she was wondering... Mukaruhanga, that's her middle name now. And it's a lady's name. It's
oh, really? Even,
so, and it kept happening and happening. We said, well, this is embarrassing. So we went ahead and agreed to adopt a family name.
Yeah.
And that's how we are now, the Bugingos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't like that before. Our kids had their own names.
Oh. And so,
yes.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. It becomes even interesting when you have a large family.
Yes.
Like, we were born 10 in my family,
uh-huh.
and so was Azel's family.
Uh-huh.
So you have 20 different first and last names.
Oh.
Go figure that.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. Right. So, what lessons have you learned upon your arrival in the USA? Any experiences you want to share with the American listeners?
Personally, I ran to speak up.
Uh-huh.
To people who know me, I just ask questions.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not shy with my accent.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them if they don't understand what I say, just to ask me to repeat, and I'm mm-hmm. comfortable with that.
Yes.
And also I break ice, not just hold yourself and
yeah.
find friends, do mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. and be useful to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be involved a lot in the Hello Neighbors.
Yes.
Where I will go and say hello to my neighbors and say, hey, I'm this and that, I'm your neighbor, and
mm-hmm.
that was really nice.
Oh.
And also, the city of Portland has really beautiful program to engage.
Mm-hmm.
I used
mm-hmm.
to do that. That was also really something to help me be useful in the community and also meet friends and get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're here in Portland and you wanted to enjoy some food from Rwanda, mm-hmm. Where would you go?
Actually, I enjoy mostly the food from East Africa in general because mm-hmm. it's almost the same.
Okay.
Yeah, we have like halal market
mm-hmm.
where you go and find food. You can like samosas. You mm-hmm. have those. Mm-hmm. You have like ugali mm-hmm. and also, however, restaurant specific for Rwanda, we don't mm-hmm. because we are few families from Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What could be like the rough estimate of people from Rwanda in Portland, roughly?
We can be more than 100 because we have a new student came in.
Mm-hmm.
We have, if I go back in our time coming in,
mm-hmm.
we are maybe less than 10 families.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe we might be more now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
The bigger, the better.
Right.
So if I were to go into Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda today, what should I not do that would offend people in Rwanda?
Don't speak politics.
Don't speak politics,
yeah.
One. Okay, any others?
Don't bring plastic.
Or plastic, like yes. plastic bags?
Yes, yeah. Plastic bags.
Or they don't like that?
No, that is actually kudos because make our Kigali look beautiful.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So they're big on environmental conservation.
Yes. Yes.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Any other habits we may need to learn about Rwandese?
Don't say anything bad about the president.
Okay.
Because Rwandese people love their president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is it such a good thing that he's doing really well that people have to not talk about him?
I don't know about that. However, even if you go to any internet anywhere, we say that's the first thing you see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe for chance may add on that.
Yes.
Yeah, the other thing that you will notice, people do not eat on the street.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Like, you know, you could here, you grab a sandwich, you just walk around eating.
Uh-huh.
That's not the Rwandese culture over
okay.
there.
Uh-huh.
So you have to find a place and sit comfortably and, you know, kind of respect food. You know,
okay.
Right? And that is also related to milk. You do not want to spill milk.
Uh-huh.
You know, right? So you got to be comfortable and respect what you are having.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you might notice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's good to know. Any other habits that would surprise other people from other nationalities if they came to Rwanda? What's the culture like? What else is there to share that people may want to know?
Rwandese people love Rwanda so much that
mm-hmm.
to the point of where we believe that God can travel anywhere else, however,
yes.
come to sleep in Rwanda.
Oh, so God traveled everywhere else that right. he came to rest in Rwanda.
Right.
Oh, that's like the paradise.
Right.
Oh, great.
And actually growing up, I believed in that.
Oh, great,
I thought it was.
Let me thank you for joining us on our show tonight. This was so amazing to hear so much about Rwanda, and I'm so thankful to you as well and Fujens for sharing their lived experiences in Rwanda. We're going to leave our audience with the very last song, but before we do that, I want to say goodbye, adios, and in Rwanda, what would you say to our audience?
Nahutaho.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is TK Kapura signing out. Until we meet again on the first Wednesday of January, take care and happy holidays to everyone. Last song.
Ese bwiza garusa abandi kumbona ugahunga kandi nje ngusanga kanga ahubwo nje ngusingiza nje nkumurimba inganzo yanjye yambujije amahwemo iranyinginga ikantabaza ati tujye kureba rugori rwera rugori rwera rwatatswe umanzi
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars. And you're listening to KBOO Portland.
My name is Mike. I work at KBOO as the data coordinator. I'm a KBOO host. I do a little show called Pandemonium. And I am a KBOO listener. I love listening to KBOO because it doesn't sound like anything else. I wish I could take credit for that. I'd love to say the reason KBOO sounds so interesting and different is because we have the best DJs, the best reporters, the best volunteers. I believe we do. I think we have an amazing community, but I don't think that's why KBOO sounds the way that it does. KBOO sounds different because of the way we are funded. KBOO is funded by you, the listener. Everyone gets the same radio, and you contribute what you can when you decide to, and there's no advertiser interfering in the relationship between you and the programmers. They say that's not supposed to work. They've been telling KBOO that will never work for 55 years now, and you, the listener, keep proving them wrong. So please help make sure KBOO continues sounding different by keeping KBOO listener-sponsored, independent, and non-commercial. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift to KBOO at KBOO.